Point Church, how are you? Welcome to our Wednesday night message. I hope you're all keeping well. It's been good to see some of your faces recently and connect with some of you. I've been able to phone around or I've saw you on Zoom meetings. If I haven't spoke to anybody yet, I will do my best in the next few weeks to try and plug in with you and see how you're keeping. If there's anyone who still has not heard anything from us or needs some help or assistance, please contact Pastor Stephen or myself or Esther, and we will do our best to help you out in any way we can. Tonight's message is really coming from a personal point of view, but I do hope that it does reach your heart and touch you and help you, and something that I believe that we all love to have is a second chance, and that is what tonight's title is. And a second chance, what do we think a second chance is? Is that we've mucked up in life, we've done something wrong, and we say we'll never get another chance to make right the wrongs of our life. Or maybe things were going really well, opportunities were great, and maybe there was a chance to go one better, and we didn't do it. And we still look back and say, oh Lord, I wish that came back again, because I would really grasp it. Or some people look at second chances as in their second chance catch up with those shows. Don't really watch them, soap operas or whatever shows it is, people catch up on the later, what do you call that, Netflix or something, I haven't got a clue, or Sky Plus, or even the football matches. When you miss the live game, you've been working or you've been out, and you like to catch up on the match later. But the second chance that I'm talking about is really from a biblical point of view, and saying, does God give second chances? And we do know that he does. We know he's a forgiving God, he's loving, and he's graceful, and he's full of mercy. So the reading that I'm going to speak from tonight is from Zephaniah 3 and 19 to 20. The word of God says, at that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honour in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honour and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this word, Lord, and I pray that this word goes out and reaches the hearts and minds of whoever needs to hear it, Lord. That they know, Lord, that you are the God of second chances, Lord, that you are there to give them that other crack at life that they might have missed in the past. So, Lord, I thank you for this little word, Lord, and bless it to our church in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse is personal to me. About 7 years ago, I was sitting in my car outside Orange Borough Council, and I was going for a job interview. And I was sitting all suited and booted, feeling all excited, thinking, oh, here's the job, I'm going to get a full-time job. You know, from the age of 21, 22, I've been self-employed. You've always been fighting for the next penny. You never knew what tomorrow was going to bring. On a Friday, you didn't know if you had any work on a Monday. Or even on a Friday, you'd worked all week, and you didn't know whether the builder's going to pay you, or a customer was going to pay all that money that week. And you had bills to pay and you were stressed out. So I was going for this interview thinking, I'm going to have a full-time steady job for the first time in my life. But like everything, before you go for anything, whether it's an interview or a meeting, I sat in my car and I prayed. And I prayed all the usual selfish things. God, give me this job. God, make me the best person at the interview. God, let them think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread so that I get the job. But as I was praying, God revealed the end of that verse there, the end of 20. And it says that I will restore your fortune before your very eyes. And I thought, God, yes, you're going to give me it. Yes, I've got the job. Yes, you're going to restore. Thank you, Lord. Lo and behold, a few days later, I got the dreaded phone call that I was unsuccessful in the interview. I was gutted. I really believe God was going to give me that because I thought that's what I wanted. But in the midst of that, I was really busy in my own job, in my self-employment. I'm a wall and floor tiler. And we were going through a wee bit of a purple patch at that time. But because of the past from the recession in 2008-09, I didn't really want to go back there. I felt God was giving me something different. So as the weeks and months went on and work was drying up and different things were happening, I used to pray to God and write my journal, and had a bit of regret thinking, like all through my 20s, as a self-employed tailor, the guys working with me, we done a lot of great work. Money was good, things were going well. But unfortunately, due to my lifestyle that I led at the time, that I just wasted the opportunity. I used to say, God, why did I have the access to, you know, that sort of money, that sort of earning power? How did I get into those positions? And I wasted it, God. I said, God, like, if it ever came back again, God, I would honour you in it. But at the time, the way the world was going, I thought there's no chance anything ever happening again for me. I sort of put it at the back of my mind and just get on my life and serve God. So we look in the Bible and think, why does God give second chances, or who does he give second chances to? And there's just a few quickly we're going to go through. We know Moses, Jonah, Rahab, Peter, just a few. But the book of Zephaniah is about universal judgment of sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And God then asked the people to repent of their sins through the prophet Zephaniah. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3:2. And Zephaniah tells the people that God is a God of mercy. And Moses proclaimed, do you remember in Exodus 34:6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We look at this theme in Zephaniah, and we know that the Old and the New Testament talk about a forgiving God. And this forgiving God, he's forgiven because he gives these second chances. You think of judgment, you think of Moses who murdered a man. In his anger, he murdered somebody. And he ran away. But the Hebrew people were special to God. And God was going to deliver them from the mighty Pharaoh in Egypt. But first they need delivered from the bondage that they were in. And we know bondage is sin. Sin is what separates us from God. It's what holds us back. God sent the plagues. And it showed that the Pharaoh, that the Hebrew people had the true living God. They had the true God in their life. But it wasn't an immediate deliverance with the Hebrew people. There was a process that they had to go through. And I'm sure they're still all went through a lot of pain and heartache before, through God and Moses' leadership, that they were delivered and they left the land and headed for Mount Sinai. So we learn from the story that God delivers his people. What about you? You're stuck in a rut. Listen, God will get you out of it. He will get you out of whatever mess you are in. And God provides for his people. Didn't he provide for the people in the desert? Fresh bread from heaven. He provided for them. And they received protection from the Amalekites. God will protect you. Psalm 91:3. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. What about Jonah? Jonah fled from God's command. He was told to go to the city of Nineveh, to where the dreaded Assyrians were. He had to tell them to repent of their sin and to turn to God, for he is merciful. Can you imagine if somebody told you to run into the roughest bar in Belfast on a Saturday night and tell them all they're all living their life wrong, to repent of their sins and turn to God? I don't think you would get out of there alive. But God was asking Jonah to do it. And he told Jonah he would be with him. But Jonah run. And we all know the story how the fishermen on the boat in the storm threw Jonah off. They knew God was with him. They threw him off and he The fish swallowed him, took him up. And even through all that, when Jonah did go to tell the people of Nineveh to repent of their sins, he reluctantly went, but he went and he done it. Do you ever run from whatever God is telling you? When he's speaking to you, clearly speaking to you, and you run and you ignore his voice, you ignore what the word of God tells you, you need to stop running and you need to start listening. David, who committed adultery, had a man murdered. Read that in 2 Samuel 11, 14 and 17. And he turned to God and he asked for forgiveness. And God restored him and used him. Rahab was a prostitute in Jericho. And she hid the spies. When Joshua sent the spies to capture the land of Canaan, the land that God promised them, Rahab says, "If you spare my family," and she hid the spies, and God used her. Even though she was a woman of a moral life, lived an immoral lifestyle, God still used her. What about Peter? Even denying who Jesus was at his most crucial moment, he denied who Jesus was, and God still used him as one of the early founders of the church. Peter, what a preacher he was. What a firebrand preacher he was. Swearing and shouting and I'm sure spittle flying out of his mouth when he was preaching, because he was on fire for God. But I'm sure in those moments when he denied Christ and when Christ was going to the cross that he thought, "Oh no, what have I done?" And when he seen God, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and Jesus was among them, I'm sure he says, "Thank you, Lord, for the second chance. I'm gonna preach the good news about you." He was given a second chance. Have you been with God in the past and have now slipped away? You don't pray like you used to. You don't read the word. You do not connect with any believers anymore. Each of these people we've spoken about, there's dozens of men and women in the Bible who have had chances. They've had their second chances. They've done the worst thing. Some haven't done as bad as what these others have done, but God has still given another chance. They're all monuments of God's grace, Hebrews 11. And what about at the moment, this pandemic? I've spoke to people who have lost their businesses, lost a lot of money. I have people who are living on a shoestring at the moment. They think their business is going to collapse soon. People whose jobs aren't certain. We're hearing doom and gloom from the economy at the moment. We just don't know what's going on. I always remember this. Just before I got saved, right about 2008 and 2009, I used to hear people talking about the recession and the doom and gloom. And I heard some Christians saying, "But we're not worried about the worldview, what goes on in the world, because it's God's kingdom is what counts." And when you live in God's kingdom, all those world things don't mean anything to us, because God's kingdom works different. It's a different economy altogether. Faith is so precious. Your faith in God is so precious. And when you have faith in God, there's just something supernatural happens in your life that we as believers have seen it. We've received God's goodness. We've received God's favor. And we know this supernatural power and the blessings that we have received. To unbelievers, they think it's foolish, it's stupid. They don't get it. But only we know. Believers in Christ know that God's kingdom is a totally different economy from the worldview economy. So Phil Scott speaking the other day on Sunday, talking about the storm. You know, where's God? Is God present in this presence? Where is he? You know, and people are always looking and thinking, where is he? And God is always with us. He's always with us at all times. But that verse, that text that I'm sort of holding on to is, "I will restore your fortunes before your very eyes. Now, we know fortunes may sound like money or, I don't know, fortunate things, good things, I don't know. But in Strong's accordance for translation, you take the S off just fortune. The word fortune in Hebrew sort of means, one of the verses says, and all the text says, that you're on the right path. And in the Greek version, they don't have fortune, they have fortunes, which we are looking for. And the word fortunes in one of the Greek meanings means kingdom or Christ ruling in people's hearts. So restore your fortunes before your very eyes. I'm looking at this and saying, God's kingdom will be coming to your heart. Christ will rule in your heart. And if we look at the other one, that you're on the right path, God will put you on the right path. He will rule in your heart again. He will come to you. You just need to ask and receive. And what about all the things you've lost in the past? You think, no chance of it coming back again. A verse that's used quite a lot, especially in addiction circles, when guys have lost everything in life and they come to Christ and they see the new life that Christ gives them. And they always shout this from the rooftops, Joel 2:25. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts. God will give you back those lost years you've lost, you've wasted, you've squandered. The days you sat and you had your wee pity party and were worried about stupid stuff. You just sat and thought, oh, poor me, poor me. But listen, God has better days ahead for you. East Point Church, but what about us? We always want to be known as a church of a second chance, don't we? Pastor Stephen always says we want to be known as a church of grace. A church who can continue to forgive people and give them another chance. What's stopping you from getting back into church? Maybe you've fallen away from church, as I said earlier. Is it your pride that has gotten away? Pride is a terrible sin that a lot of us have. I have it. I have to deal with it. Or you've been hurt by someone, or you've hurt someone in church, in our church. We talk about our own church setting. We do it. I've done it. I've said things I've regretted about people in church. I've asked God to forgive me. I've spoken with them. We've made up. Have you done it? Have you let something, has somebody tried to correct you by using the word of God and it's pierced your heart and you've thought, stuff them, I'm not going back to them. They're hypocrites. Listen, God loves you. We love you. We would love to see you coming back again. We're a church, a graceful church. We don't want to hold no bitterness or we don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness, it just wrecks you. Our church, East Point, we believe, as I said earlier, we're a church of second chances. I believe we're a church who show up. Number one, we show up when we need to, and we stand up for God. Last Sunday, what about Helen? Helen Lucas praying on camera. Helen would never even speak out in life group. She would hide in the corner. And she wouldn't, and she would make it known she doesn't like the talk. And she prayed last week, done an absolutely amazing job. And her husband Darren said to her, you didn't just pray in front of the camera, you pray in front of the world. It's going to go out worldwide. You know, God used her. I'm sure Helen never thought that she would ever do anything like this. Opportunities went past her. I'm going to go through quite a lot of people here. Forgive me if I've forgotten you. Craig McFarlane leading guitar. I remember him saying, there's not a chance I'm getting on that stage singing or playing guitar. Now, he did play guitar in a small church setting before, and I'm sure he thought that coming to a bigger church, he would never get an opportunity to do it. And there he is on the stage, leading away. Great wee guitar player, giving God all the glory. With Gary and Dawn running the host team, coming early every week, setting up, being part of that team, but even in the sound team, we know there's numerous people to help out there, with Mark and Chris, etc. Susan leading worship. What a great worship leader we have in Susan. Absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure Susan, going back 5, 7, 8 years, did she ever think she'd be leading a church? Unbelievable. We can't miss Paul Hoy, sure we can't. How great a job is he doing? Singing. Our very own Kenny Rogers. What a great man he is. What a lovely man. Donna Campbell. Can't forget Donna Campbell says she will never she will never be in kids' church. You know? I'm sure a few years ago it probably passed out and through her mind, and I know God spoke to her in the past and maybe mentioned she would be in kids' church, but thought, nah, I'm getting too old for that stuff. But she's serving God in that ministry and doing a great job. With Christine Hawthorne serving tea, same again, I'm sure she's been in churches thinking, I'd love an opportunity to work in that department, work in her catering department, help and serve part of that, doing a super job with all the staff around her. With Sharon Ray, her very own car boot saleswoman, what a heart she has for God as well. Not missing an opportunity, always going and doing what she can for God. There's quite a lot of you have given out leaflets. You've knocked on doors. You've prayed. You've gave money. You've done everything you could. And I apologise if I haven't mentioned your name. You can hit me a slap in the back the next time you see me if I've forgotten to mention your name. And just one last one, Nora and Ashley. Great wee prayer warriors. Said they would never pray out, and they've been absolutely brilliant. Been hearing of good reports on the Sunday nights, while the prayer team have stayed behind, while the others have been out, knocked doors, they've prayed, and they've been absolutely amazing. And we thank God for you and for your prayer ministry, and please continue to pray for us as a church and as a leadership. So we thank God for us being a praying church. We know that we all live in God's judgment on mankind. We know, we all understand that as a church. God's judgment on mankind, and we do repent of our sins. We are always encouraged to keep a short account with God. Come to him and ask for forgiveness, for he is just and will forgive you. And we know our God is merciful and loving. So we live our lives out to reflect what he has done in our life. There was a wee thing on TV there last week I'd watched, and a guy called Vinny Cadman, he won New Faces in 1986, and he couldn't cope with the fame, and he fell away and struggled, and he was living on the streets, and he was living in a bin. 25 years later, a TV company had caught on to him, and thank God that he's back in the industry, and he's entertaining again. And but I'm sure when he was laying in those streets, he thought, I would never ever get a chance to go back and do what I love doing. What about the ultimate second chance? Forgiveness. Jesus Christ died so that you may have the freedom of forgiveness to walk in his grace. Your sin separated you from God. Those who hold on to unforgiveness are the ones who hurt the most. Let go and let God. If you procrastinate, which I do a lot, or idle, which I also do, sometimes I can be busy, but I can be a busy fool. Sometimes I put things to the back burner to think something else is more important. You know, for me, that's sinning. I have to ask God to help me do the right thing. And ask him to help you be a doer of his word. Luke 11 and 28. But he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Don't be worried thinking your better days were behind you. There are many good days ahead. Me today, I'm blessed. My goodness. Like, I never thought I would ever have a tiling shop. I never thought but the tiling contracting business. Maybe do well in that. Every morning I sit and thank God for what I've got, and it is only through him that I could have these things. And that verse from years ago, I will restore your fortune before your very eyes. God knew that when I left school, he had a career mapped out for me. Sadly, a few days ago, the guy who I served my time with, called Robert Coulter, sadly died of cancer. He was living in Italy. And I often pray and thank God for him, for giving me that opportunity in life to learn the trade and to get into this industry. And he made a big impression on me in my younger days, and I just want to thank God for him and pray that peace is with his family at this time. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, he will give you immeasurably more than you ask. God is at work in you. I know everyone's second chance may look different from mine or anybody else's. Churches, when we get back together, let's get back for these second chances. Let's get back and just honor God and serve him in whatever way we can. Let's just don't hold on to the past. Let's move on. Just close and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy and acceptance, Lord, of all people, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone there who think the chances have gone by them, Lord, or all the old opportunities are missed, Lord, I pray that they would know that you are the God of second chances, that you will give them new opportunities, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for East Point Church and anybody who is even watching this little clip, Lord, I pray that they will be blessed and that the favor of God will come upon them, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we just ask you for everything that's been said tonight. Amen. Amen. So, church, I just hope you all have a great week. God bless you all. Bye.